Okay, it's a pleasure for the shul to have Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, who was gracious enough, even though he was coming to go be a scholar resident somewhere else, to lend his other, the small free time that he had for the weekend. He gave to the Young Israel of Oak Park, so we're very fortunate and very honored to have him here. He's been here before, apparently, before my time, not in the last 3 months. But it's always a pleasure to have him back. I've heard him many times through my childhood, and apparently, you know, different family connections we were going through from the airport. Apparently, there's history that goes way back. So it's a pleasure to have the personal opportunity. It's a pleasure for the shul to have the opportunity to hear from Rabbi Liebtag. You don't really need my introduction, nor could I probably give you a sufficient introduction, given my youth. But there are people here that have probably heard about Rabbi Liebtag and heard from Rabbi Liebtag for many, many years. So beyond his wealth of knowledge just about Tanakh, his wealth of knowledge in life and experience in the world, it's really a pleasure to have the opportunity to hear from Rabbi Liebtag. And even though we don't necessarily have the opportunity to hear you the rest of the weekend, we are all honored that you would share some word with us tonight. So thank you.
In a minute. I'll give you the signal one. Okay. In addition to thanking the rabbi, the idea for this year was actually Scott.
Rabbi Berman.
Rabbi Berman, yeah. He said, because I'll be in the school tomorrow, and Rabbi Berman said, why don't you go to Oak Park? I said, I don't mind. And she said, he's really fast, Rabbi Berman. He's like, he puts on email, right? He answers right away. He knows how to get things done. Okay. First of all, Erev, thank you for inviting me, and I hope you get over Yom Tov. To get people to come up for shir after a whole month of activities is that's a statement. I want to take an opportunity, because we're starting Parshat Bereshit, to give an example how Chumash is a book to study and not read. I'll try to explain what I mean. There's certain books that are written to be read. Let's say you buy a new, you're my age group. Remember you used to buy a cell phone when they first came out? It came with a little like one-page book of how to turn it on and make a phone call. And then there was a thick book that told you how to use the camera and how to send a message. You never read it, but it was a instruction book, or Horah Ot in Hebrew. Now, the author of that instruction book, he's called a technical writer. And he writes to try to be as clear as possible, almost like writing Shulchan Aruch. But when he writes the word button, you know, press this button three times, he doesn't sometimes spell the word button with one T and sometimes with two T's. And then based on how many times there's two T's and one T, you figure out what to do when the phone freezes. Yeah. But do you know a book that does that, according to the rabbis? There's no doubt if you study Talmud, the rabbis assume Chumash is a book to study and not read. I'll give you a better example, just a totally different angle. You ever been to an art museum? Okay, so you walk to an art museum, you know, a couple minutes there. All of a sudden you'll see a group of people, maybe like 10 people, sitting and staring at a painting for 20 minutes. You're not sure what's wrong with them? Or but assuming they're art students. And what's their assumption when they look at that painting? Okay. They're assuming that the artist who drew the painting had a message to give over. He might have done it 500 years ago. It might be long gone. But if you want to figure out the message, you have to study the painting to get the message. So I want to bring an example of, you can do this all through Chumash, but Chumash is written in a way where the message is through its study more than by what's written. You understand what I'm getting at? I'll give you a quick example we're not going to do tonight, just to get a taste. But it has to do with the whole holiday season we just finished. Next week, we're going to read the story of Noah, correct? How many days was the flood? And how many nights? 40 days and 40 nights. And what saved Noah? The Teva. And how is Noah described? As someone who was Matzachem Ben Hashem? No. And anyone else in Chumash have all those different traits, have something related to that? Who else has a story about 40 days and 40 nights? Yeah. Was anyone else given the opportunity, let me kill everyone else and make you the only one? Okay. I can go on and on, but that's not our topic tonight. If it was coming next week. Now, that could be an amazing coincidence, or it could be the way that Chumash tells us the story of the flood, it's written in a special manner to help us understand the story of Har Sinai. I'm assuming the story of Har Sinai is the main story of Chumash, because that's what we're all about. And the way Chumash writes the story, it's not, I don't need Chumash to tell us how things happened or what happened. I need Chumash to understand why we're chosen and what it means to be Jewish and what's our relationship with God. And sometimes the way Chumash writes the story carries a very deep meaning, but to appreciate the meaning, you don't have to read the story, you have to study the story. Because Chumash doesn't say, oh, pay attention, there's 40 days and 40 nights. You follow? But he's assuming you're going to do that. Now, I want to begin, if you have your Chumash open, open up the parak. I'm going to give you a short a page in a minute that instead of a board. But what I want you to do, look in Perek Aleph and Brishit, the story of creation, which we all know, we're all familiar with. We took a break on Simchas Torah. We took a break between every day and did a nigun. You do that here? Between every day, you do a little nigun in the middle. So take a look for a minute. And what I want to point out, something I'm sure you noticed, that every day of creation has a format. You know what format means? Give me an example of a phrase that we find in every day of creation. Okay. The Balkori made a big deal about that 2 days ago, right? By Boker Yom, fill in the blank. Every day of creation ends with the same phrase. Okay, that's nice. I mean, it makes sense. But that's called format. And how many days of creation are there?
Six.
Without being a prophet, I could have told you I'd hear 6 and 7. Okay. All right. So it could be. We'll see if it's 6 or 7. Now, in addition to that phrase at the end, is there another phrase that every day of creation or most days of creation share? What do you mean? And where do we find that? In the beginning. So let's take a look at day 2. Okay. How does day 2 begin? In Pasuk Tet. Be'er Elokim. And how does day 3 begin? And day 4? We're doing good. Day 5? And day 6? And day 7? Okay. So 7's different. What? Okay. But then say, Be'er Elokim. Okay. Okay. So we'll deal with day 7 later on. Okay. How about day 1? But no, it's day 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 begin with Vayomer Elokim and end with Vayervai Boker Yom. Blank. Okay. How does Shabbat end? Vayervai Boker Yom. No, that was Friday. Yeah. It doesn't end. No, it's Shabbat doesn't begin like all the other days of creation and doesn't end like them. How about day 1? How does day 1 begin? Okay, so it's that. Everyone, I'll slow down for a minute. What we found so far is that days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 begin with Vayomer Elokim and end with Vayervai Boker Yom Blank. But day 1 doesn't. Why? Because day 1 begins with Reshit Bara Elokim. Right. But look carefully at day 1 and see if there's a possibility that maybe even day 1 begins with Vayomer Elokim. If I look at verse 3 in Pasuk Gimel, it begins with Vayomer Elokim. And if day 1 begins with Pasuk Gimel, what does that make verses 1 and 2? An introduction. That would be logical, right? But we have to see. Or maybe there's something else going on. In other words, when I read Pesukim Aleph and Bet, verses 1 and 2, Bereshit Bara Elokim, is that an introduction to the story of creation? For example, how does the story of creation end? It matches pretty nicely. It's like an envelope. So we'll consider now maybe the first 2 verses are introductory. Then we need to understand the introduction. And then possibly day 1 begins also with Vayomer Elokim. And then we have a perfect unit. Except for Shabbat, of course. Now, let's take a look. By the way, is there another phrase that repeats itself quite often? What was good? That was a good answer. Why was that a good answer? Because almost every day there's an evaluation, and it's a pretty good report card, isn't it? I'm not sure if this every day or most days. We'll check it out. But almost every day has an evaluation for Yom Rivki Kitov. Yeah. What day says twice? How come everyone knows that day three it says twice Kitov? Because we're working backwards. There's a custom started by caterers. They can charge double. By Goyim, it's Valentine's Day, they charge double. By Jewish catering halls, any Tuesday they can double. They can double, but maybe double because Tamay and Kitov. There's a skula, let's say, to get married on Tuesday. Could be. Is there one day that's missing?
Yeah,
day two, possibly. Okay, it could be, maybe one makes up for the other. That we're familiar with. But it's a phrase that does repeat itself. That's for sure. What?
First day doesn't have it either.
First day?
Keto?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of other important words that come up. We'll see them like the Havdil. Like dividing, God does that a lot. But I want to do something simple. I want to try and follow what always follows that opening phrase of Vayomer Elokim. There's a bigger topic, who's God talking to? It's really interesting. The fact that God's talking, it's an amazing thing, God talking. What? Okay, so let's take a look. Let's look at assuming day one begins in Pasuk Gimel. It says, Vayomer Elohim Yihi Or. Okay, Yihi Or. So what's God say? Let there be light. Okay. How about day two? Vayomer Elohim Yikavu Hamayim Mitachat HaShemayim. Let the waters gather. I'm sorry, my mistake. Day two. Yirakia B'toch Hamayim. Let there be a rakia, whatever that is. I know what it does. What does the rakia do? It divides between which water? Again, another side point. We have no idea when God made water. That's a philosophical question. Was water always there? Rambam talks about that, but that's for a class in philosophy. But whatever that water was coming from, it was all mixed up, and God started organizing some of the water he put up there and some down here, and what divided them? The Rakia. Now, how do you say there in Hebrew? Sham. So what are you going to call the water that's up there? Sham Mayim. In fact, God gives out names, doesn't he? A lot? Did he give out a name in day one?
Or?
He calls the Or Yom, and he calls the Choshech Laila, doesn't he? So God says it's good, he sees, it's nice and simple. Day two, he makes the Rakia, which divides the mind above and below. And what does he do? And he sees it's good. No, he didn't say anything there. But he gives names, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Shemayim, and later we'll call the bottom water Yamin. No, but not yet. Okay. How does day three begin? Now, tell me what's similar in grammar between the first 3 days. Okay? And God said, let there be light. And Yikavu Hamayim. What the word he is there, but what's common? What always follows so far of Vayomer Elohim? What do you call that in grammar? Not just the verb.
Or masculine.
It's sort of imperative to understand this. Aren't they commands? God's giving commands. We're not sure who he's commanding, but he's talking in command form. It's called tzivui in Hebrew. But God is not just talking, he's giving commands. Let's check out day four. How's day four begin? Vayomer Elohim, Yihi Morot Berkiya Shamayim. Let there be what? Let there be lights, Berkiya Shamayim. Lahavdil. Okay? Dot. How does day five begin? Vayomer Elohim. Yishurtu Amayim, Sheretz Nefesh Chaya, Vof Yofif. Got it? And day six? Are we good? In other words, every Vayomer Elohim doesn't always follow by the word Yehi, but it's always followed by a command. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Every Vayomer Elohim is always followed by a command. So now we have the formats getting a little more organized. In other words, not just a technical word, but God begins every day with a command. Again, unclear who's commanding. Now, if you give a command, what happens? I don't want to get into marriage problems. Okay. What? Oh, we gotta get there. Yeah, we'll get there soon. But that's not the beginning of the day. That's the middle of the day. What I want to point out though is that every day begins with a command. What should follow the command? And not just an action, but the fulfillment of the command. In other words, would that make sense? God should command something, and it should happen. Who's going to do it? Well, we'll see. So let's see. By everything he or? By he or. Command, execution. What? Followed by evaluation. By everything with the or kitov. Okay. Command, execution, evaluation. Got it? Okay. How about day two? Take a look at day two. Yihirakia betoch hamayim. I'm sorry, yeah. Vimav delay baim lamayim. What should follow? An execution. What does God do? Vayasulim at the rakia. How come God did it? Hu amar vayehi. Hu tziva. Who am I quoting? Hu amar vayehi. Hu tziva ve'amod. Ve'midin lad ve'olam. Who am I quoting from? In Tehillim. Which is a type of commentary in Chumash. I think so, isn't it? There was Tehillim caught on to this, didn't they? I understand what I'm saying, but who Amar v'Yehi? God said and it came about, who Tziba v'Nivro? Be'midin lad lo'olam, hot v'alvor. Now, let's try day three. Does day three work also? V'emadim yishutsu amayim sher sefesh chaya. I'm sorry, that's not day three. Day three is what? Yikavu amayim to one place and let there be yabashad ra'adhan v'ayichen. In other words, sometimes God does it through an action, by-ya. Sometimes it just happens, presto. I'm not going into the details of actually of what the differences are, but it's clear that so far in the first 3 days, God says something, gives a command, and it's executed. I'd expect that. Now, how about day four? What's God say? Let there be morot b'rikhi ha-shamayim. Labdil ben abam. And what's the execution? No, that Pasuk Tevav is still the command. So here we have both. First we have Vayichen, followed by Vayaslim and Shnei Morot. We have, and it happened, and also we summarize how we did it. He made the big Mor and the small Mor. You notice that they're not called sun and moon? You know why? It's one of the, there used to be people, way back, way before, that for some reason, for I think a very logical reason, they were humans and they were like looking around nature and they were living and they noticed things like the sun every day and the moon and the stars at night and trees growing. And for some crazy reason, they thought the sun was a god. They even gave him a name. They called him Shemesh or Ra in Egypt. Yeah. Why would anyone in the right mind think that there's a sun god? I'd say exactly the opposite. How would anyone in the right mind not think there's a sun god?
Right.
Yeah. He's pretty consistent, isn't he? He's a pretty, you want him on your side. You want to, not to get too hot and not to get too, but you want him to come every day. You can't live without him. Understand? And it's only logical to think that the sun is a god. Because it looks very powerful. In fact, what's the name for a power in Hebrew? An El, or an Eloha. And if there's lots of powers, okay? What would you call a lot of powers? Elohim. Okay. And if there's many powers, you would conjugate that in the plural. How does Chumash conjugate Elohim? Bayom Elohim, instead of Bayomru. It should be Bayomru. So is that a mistake in grammar? So Rabbi Yehuda Levi in the Kuzari makes a point of this, right on the mark. He says, that's how Chumash teaches you monotheism. In the most cutest way. By making a mistake in grammar. Because when it's telling ancient man that, hey, everyone perceives many gods. You ever see mythology? Not just Disney movies. Classic mythology makes sense. They're not crazy people. It's logical to assume what we perceive as many gods. But only when you proceed deeper, I'll give you an analogy you might understand from if you had kids in camp. Pretend you're a 10-year-old in camp, 9-year-old in camp. Or how soon did he get him out of the house? 3-year-old? The kid's ready to go, but still young. Right? He goes to camp. It's a new environment for him. He gets to camp and he has a counselor God. Understand? But that counselor God in camp runs his life. Not all of his life, because there's also the pool God. But you have to listen to the pool God all the time. When you're in his jurisdiction, you better listen to the pool God. There's the sports God who decides what team you're going to be on. Right? There's going to be the cafeteria God, the cheder ochel God, right? There's lots of gods in camp. And how do you survive the summer? You got to know which gods to tell what to go. How to appease the different gods. Now, that little kid has no idea there's a camp director, unless it's his father. And those are the kids you can't throw out of camp. He has no idea there's a camp director. Got it? But he sees that. When he gets older, what's he realize? Hey, all these people who he thought were gods are really what? They're getting their paychecks from somebody else. There's a camp director. And there's a board member. You follow? But that's what I'm talking about. But a 9 or 10 year old, it takes maturity to realize something deeper going on. But the original perception is a world of many gods. So how does Chumash teach you there's really one God, and there's a purpose in creation? By conjugating Elohim in the singular. In the fourth Mamar Revi of Rabbi Yehuda Levi in the Chazari, it's his first section. He explains it beautifully. Now let's get back to our topic. So far, every day begins with a command, execution, and evaluation. Agreed? Just try day 6 for the fun of it. Make sure it still works. What's God say? On top of page 8. Ve'amadim. No, I'm sorry. Pasuk Chavdalad. Ve'amadim totzi ha'aretz nefesh chaya lemina. Ve'amad brefs v'chayat lemina. Vayichen. Vayasalim et chol chayat ha'aretz lemina. Command, execution. And God sees it's good. Now, in addition to that format, but I'm getting at almost every single day has a command execution. Actually, I can give out the page now.
I gave out the page in the beginning. I didn't
pay attention. The page is instead of having a board. Assuming you wouldn't have a... You're not that high-tech yet with a screen. You'll see on the page I gave you, I think the page probably makes things a little more complicated. But the page has 3 columns that I number the days. And I have day 1, day 2, day 3. Now, if I want to go back to the question, does day 1 begin in Pasuk Gimel or not? If every other day begins with command, execution, evaluation, then Pasuk Gimel is the perfect beginning of day 1. It's not just Vayomer Elokim, it's Vayomer Elokim, command, Yehor, execution by Yehor, and Vayomer Metor Kitov. Which probably supports very strongly that the first 2 lines is an introduction. Now the question, what's Chumash up to? That's the big question. In addition to that format of command, execution, evaluation, every day has something extra. For example, on the first 3 days, God gives out names, doesn't he? He calls the Or Yom, the night. He calls the water Abaf Shamayim. I mean, he calls the Yavash Haaretz. The first 3 days, God gives names. Later, does anyone else give out names later in Chumash? Yeah. Who tells him to give names? He gives names, doesn't he? Yeah. Does anyone ever give a name for God?
Well, Moshe asks.
How about your forefathers? What's it mean to make a name for God? That's a good question. But it's interesting that God gives names, gives a name for man, gives man a name. And the man's job is to give names for animals, and later he gives names. Now, what leads man to identifying there's different types of animals? Lahavdil. Based on what does man decide these are dogs and these are apples and these are cows and these are donkeys? How does man know to categorize things like that?
Looking at the qualities of
that. What's he have to use? He's got a lahavdil. There's a great line later in Chumash, lahavdil. Are we commanded to mavdil bein habeimah torah la tmeah? Somebody here's got to be balkore. Where's my balcony? Vivdatem bein habeima atmei al Torah bein atmei bein atmei al Torah. Lo teshakshu et nafshechem. Okay. Da 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 da. Ba'avdil etchem min amim. What do you have to do? You have to learn how to differentiate between different types of animals. Okay. And ultimately, what you have to realize, I differentiate between different nations and pick you. In other words, the process of Havdalah is very key, not just in God's creation, but also in our day-to-day life. Okay. That being able to distinguish between different, in yeshiva is called making a chakira. But the whole idea of distinguishing and realizing, because the process of distinguishing makes you realize there's some structure to nature, something's going on here. Now, let's get back to work. So some days have God gives out names. Sometimes He gives out jobs. Who does God give His first job to? Who's the first one to be in charge of something? No, way before then. Which light? Look at day four. Look at day four. It's the middle column. God says makes the morot, doesn't He? And look in pasuk. No, but better. Look in pasuk tetzayim. Ve'asa lekim et shnei morot agdolim. The big light, right? Lememshelat hayom, but don't mark it down. Lememshelat. What's memshelah mean? We could use one in Israel. What? To govern. No, it's who's in charge of the day? The sun's in charge of the day. The moon's in charge of the night. Now, I always have a question here. You'll think I'm not joking. It sounds like a joke. Would it make more sense for God to give us the sun at night when we could use him? When it's dark out?
The sun lights the moon.
How do you know that? You went to a science. You believe that? You probably thought they put a man on the moon also. You probably still think the earth is round. Okay. Listen, we know that from science class. But if you didn't have science class, when I wake up in the morning, right? It's light out. Right? What time is davening tomorrow? 6:15? Whatever. Is it light out?
No.
Barely, but it starts getting light. But the sun doesn't come out. It's light for at least a half hour until the sun comes to work. Doesn't he come late to work every day? Like 45 minutes late to work?
With an eclipse.
And he leaves the office a half hour early? What?
With an eclipse. When the earth gets between the sun and the moon, that's
Kabbalistic. That's, you know, that's,
no.
Yeah, I know. And I'm saying, and you're right. I'm just joking. Okay. I'm only joking. You know I'm joking. What I'm getting at is that what's being described in creation is what we perceive. Not necessarily, it's not a class in physics. It's a class in perception. But I want to suggest something, what Chumash is up to. But my point is that what leads me to the conclusion, according to this story, that I don't need the sun for night. I mean, I don't need the sun for daylight.
We were already told that he created light.
Is there day and night in day one?
Yes.
By Yerevai Boker, Yom Echad.
Yes.
Is there day and night in day two?
Yes.
So don't tell me the sun is the reason for day and night. I don't care what they taught you in astronomy class. You follow? In Perek Aleph and Breshit, there's day and night before there's the sun and the moon. It might not make sense, because it wasn't written to be a history book or a physics book. The Chumash is up to something big. But what's it telling you is that day one and day four are talking to each other, aren't they? You agree with me? Look, the page gives it away. Day four, morot. Do you understand how day four is finishing off day one? Maybe they relate to one another. Okay. Now, if I ask myself, what is it that God makes day by day? It's real simple. What did God make on day one? Or, right? What did God make on day four?
Morot.
What did God make on day two? What's it say? If I want to know what God made every day, what do I have to look at? What was the command and what was the execution? It should be the same thing. What was the command on day two? Yirakia v'toch hamayim. Bayasunet harakia. Got it? Now, as long as we're going sideways, we went from 1 to 4. Let's go from 2 to 5. What did God make on 5? Take a look. On day 5, what's God say? Ring a bell? Now we have living things. Got it? But which living things do I have? I don't have all living things. I don't have animals. What do I have? I have fish and fowl. Don't I? And that was, do you see the parallel? It was on day two, God divided up the rakia, I mean the mind. There's water, bashamayim, there's shamayim, and yamim, the rakia is in between. And what populates this universe in day five? The fish, yeah? And the birds, barakia shamayim. That's another nice match, isn't it? So day one matches day four, and day two matches day five. That should be obvious now, isn't it? Yeah. Just time out for I'm hoping that most people noticed that before. Is there anyone here who hears this for the first time? Okay, half the room for those. Now, that's my point. Chumash is a book to study. Don't tell me that's by accident. The day one matches day four, and day two matches by five. Chumash wants you to uncover that. That's not accidental. That's format. But Chumash didn't start with paying attention to day one and day four. Chumash wants you to figure it out. It's called Asok. What bracha do you make on Torah study? Lasok with Divrei Torah. You know what Lasok means? An essay. It's a business. You gotta. That's my point. It's a book to study. Now, let's get there. If day one matches day four and day two matches day five, what can I assume about day three? Let's see if it works. What does God make on day three? He says, let the water recede and let there be yabasha, and he calls it aretz. And what animals does he make on day six? Land animals, okay? Now we have what's called a slam dunk. It's basketball season started, isn't it? Okay. So it's a nice match. But that was the simple part. Now you gotta stay awake. But everyone so far makes sense? I'm pretty sure I'm pointing out the format and want to make a big deal about the format. Because I still want to understand. I'm assuming that Chumash doesn't need to tell me how God created. Ask a physicist. Chumash needs to know something about our relationship with God, between God and man. Now, so far, every day of creation had what? One command, execution, evaluation, and some effort. Look carefully now at day three. Look carefully now at day three. And look how day three is different than all the other days. It's on the bottom right. Okay, yeah. Take a look carefully at day three. It starts like all the others. Okay? Let there be news. God has a command to make Yabasha. Yeah, and it happens. And he calls Yabasha Aretz. There's an evaluation, isn't there? But after that evaluation, what happens? There's what's called three. I'll call it 3B. The two stars. There's another Bayom Elokim on day three. Does it follow the pattern? Bayom Elokim, Tatshe Aretz Desha. Command? That's a command, isn't it, in Hebrew? Tatshe Aretz Desha is a command. Esem Azri Azer, it's Priyos, Apri, the Mino. Did it happen? Bayichen. And who fulfills the command? The Aretz, isn't that cool? Don't say bayas. It's really neat that the Aretz can do things now. I'll try to explain why later on. But the Tzeretz Desh is the Mazur Azera. The Minyu is Priyos Sapri. Is there a valuation? Another one. Remember the thing about weddings?
Yeah.
What's the real reason why it says Pamayim? What's the technical reason why it says Kitov twice on Tuesday? Because there's two acts of creation. Yeah, got it?
But on the evaluation on day two.
It's missing for some reason.
Okay.
But the fact of missing day two is not the reason why you have two on day three. There's two different questions. There's a question why it's missing on day two. Okay. I heard from somebody that he was really disappointed that everything was united and God started dividing things and the Shemayim Ba'aretz and, you know, it looks like there's a dualistic role, you know, and because aren't too many things. The idea that, you understand how Shemayim Ba'aretz sort of divides things and God's, you know, we're down here, God's up there, but nothing. Does anything connect Shemayim Ba'aretz? What? Is there anything that connects Shemayim Ba'aretz?
Rain.
Matar. Oh, that's another. That's Perek Bet already. Matar and, I think man also, if he knows how to daven. Okay, but that's a bigger thing. Isn't that Rashi on the spot? Remember in Perek Bet? There's another story of creation in chapter 2. But God said nothing was growing. Why? Two things were missing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And you can take a look in verse 5 in chapter 2. Okay? It says nothing was growing. Why? For two reasons. Ki lo himtir Hashem al haaretz. There was no matar. There was no rain. Va'adam ein lavod et adama. There's no man to work the field. And there's no foreign workers yet. No Mexican. Yeah. Now, what's Rashi say? What do you mean nothing grows without man? Things grow beautifully. I need matar. I need rain. Right? I don't need man for things to grow. Right? What's Rashi say? I need man for what? To daven for rain. Don't you remember Rashi on the spot? That's not pshat of chumash. That's pshat of Torah. That's not pshat of the pasuk. That's pshat of chumash. If you follow, say Shema every day. The idea of being able to connect between Shema and Ba'aretz, that's a big deal. Again, I got sidetracked. I want to go back to our topic. Since you mentioned it, I want to point that out from your question. It could be there's something not so good about the fact that there's a divide between Shema and Ba'aretz. But we want to bring it back together again one day. Now, so day 3 is special. Why? Unlike all the other days that we've seen, it has two distinct acts of creation, doesn't it? 3A and 3B. When I say 3A and 3B, you understand my point? What's 3A? God makes land. What's 3B? He makes vegetation. Now, we have a beautiful custom in Judaism. We because of this pasuk, we differentiate between Borei Pri Eitz and Borei Pri Adama. Don't we? I think we do. We all do that. Did you know that was wine? Does it make sense? That's why we do it? God makes that decision. We'll see later, I think we're in God's image. But we do that. In fact, remember Rabbi Yehuda Shita in Brachas? What's Rabbi Yehuda say? How was he reading the Pasuk? Totzi ha'aretz deshe kama esem azriya zera kama etz priyos and free kama. How do Chachamim read the Pasuk? Esef, colon. You follow? But that's what they're arguing about. But they're learning Chumash. They just assume everyone pays attention to that. Which we don't. Okay, now back to day 3. But understand how day 3 is different? Day 3 has two acts of creation. And that's why it says Pamayim Ki Tov on. Now, are those acts, what are they? One is making land. Next is vegetation. Are they related? Land and vegetation? Yeah. Can't have one without the other. Are they different? In what way are they different? Yeah?
Is inanimate.
Mm-hmm.
Vegetation is life.
In Hebrew, domain to tzomeach. Any Darwinists or evolutionary, you were into astronomy before. You believe in evolution also? Okay. Now I'm starting to doubt everything. Maybe there's this flat. Okay. Now, even in evolution theory, no one knows how that happened. You have the Big Bang elements, or once you have those amino acids, you can start coming up with theories. Yeah, whatever it is. But how life forms begin, no one has any idea.
No idea.
It's like a total bafflement. I have these elements, but how life forms begin? Because life means death. Now, notice how life is key in that. Why? Totzi aretz deshe, esev, mazriya zera, etz pri osev pri. That's reproduction. Every living thing dies, but before it dies, what can it do? It can reproduce itself. That's the nature of nature, isn't it? Now, what I want to suggest is there's a quantum leap from 3A to 3B. 3A and 3B are related, but the jump from 3A to 3B, in Hebrew, domain to tzomeach, about that, is a quantum leap. That you agree with. And that's important. And that distinction, Chumash is making a big deal about, way before Darwin. Got it? Now, if our playing the right game, what should I expect to happen now on day 6? How many acts of creation are we going to have on day 6?
Two.
There should be 2. Are we going to find 2?
Yeah.
Let's take a look. Okay? You're in suspense, huh? Okay. Day 6, Vayomer Elokim, Naseh Adam. Oh, someone meant that's the problem here, isn't it? Chumash finally got it right. I mean, it's not a problem. It should say Naseh. It's the first time we got the grammar right. That Elohim is talking in plural. Okay, but that's a different question. How did Chazal understand it? Who's God talking to? His board members. Do you have them? No, I said B-O-R-D, not B-O-R-D. It's the rabbi's joke. Doesn't Rashi say God's... And who are God's board members? But not down here, deep up on earth. Does God ever consult with other with his board members, anything else in creation?
Sure.
Yeah. When he makes man, when he kicks him out of Gan Eden, when he makes a woman, right? When he throws him out of Gaden, hey, he's going to be with one of us. Remember Migdal Bavel? Right? That was God. Right? He does it over and over again, but he never talks to men until who? Take a wild guess. Okay. What? The last time he talks to himself, and the last time he consults is with Avram and Stone. Hamachasanim Avraham. That's a whole different topic, but it's awesome. Chumash is up to big stuff. God is consistently talking to himself. Especially when it comes to major decisions about man. Okay? But the first time he'll enter a discussion with man about what to do is with Avraham Avinu. And that's the last time he talks to himself. He's got new board members. And we've been around for thousands of years. Because how does God make his decisions? What influences God's decisions? What? Let's call it tefillah. If God sees people care, when we daven to God, what does God see? If God's deliberating, should I or shouldn't I? The story goes, is there hope for this city? Is there hope for this town? There's hope for this country. So if everyone's really bad, he should punish. But he also hopes maybe someone will do something about it. If people show God they care, that gives God a reason to either answer. You follow how prayer works? In one way, that's not all prayer, but there's something going on there. Now, let's get back to day six. So the first thing God makes on day six is what? In the singular, what's he do? So it's God makes land animals, 6A, which is parallel to 3A, because what did God make on 3A? Land. 6A, land animals. How does 6B begin? Okay. And then Vayivralekim, but Adam b'tzamo. Lots of famous words there. Like the word barana was important. The plural. There's a lot of special things there. But as far as the format goes, command execution. Let's see. How about 6A? Is 6A command execution evaluation? Isn't it? Sure it is, isn't it? Command. No. Day 6B, command. Nasa Adam b'tzamenu. By execution, by Ivra Elohim et Adam, b'tzamo, b'tzelem tu tavnito b'tkim. No, that's not, where's that? That's Sheva Brachos, isn't it? You talk about this as Sheva Brachos all the time. Why would this be good for Sheva Brachos when people get married? Of course it's life, isn't it? It's continuity. Now, so what does God do? He makes man, command execution. But we don't get an evaluation so fast. There's an evaluation at the end. It's a tov ba'od, but it's unclear what that's on. But man has a, man gets a job to do. What's his job? He's in charge. Just like who's in charge of the sky and the heavens, the sun and the moon? Who's in charge down below? I think it's the same words, isn't it? I think. Every living thing on the land, the stuff in the sky, the sun and the moon are in charge of, but who gave what appears to be a god is really, it's a son of God, got it? The sun's not a god, it's the son of God. Just joking. The same thing on the land, man thinks he's a god, doesn't he? Yeah, board members. There's humans who think they're like gods, and they have power, but what, someone gave them the power? And what did they do with that? That's the question. Do you realize, when someone has power, do you realize where that power is coming from, and what you do with it? We'll see that soon. No. Now we're going to get a glitch. Why? Look in Pasuk Chavtet. There's another Vayomer Elokim. Got it? I had 6A and 6B. Now it looks like I have 6C. Why? Because there's another Vayomer Elokim. How many times does God speak in chapter in creation? I think 10 times. Do you ever learn Perkei Avot? See where they're coming? They know how to read Chazal. They just don't tell you where they're getting it from. Remember Basar Mamrot Nivra Olam? Couldn't he just say, Bayom Elokim, presto, and it's all done?
Yes.
So, I don't get, but he didn't. Right. So Pirkei Avot gives a great answer, but that's not our topic tonight. I'm just showing you that Pirkei Avot was into this. Now, let's go back to thing. Let's see if six, in other words, for Pasuk Chavtet, for verse 29 to be another act of creation, what needs to follow? It needs to be command execution, right? Is it? Let's read it. Vayomer Elokim, Hinei netati lechem et kol esef zorei hazera, asher al pnei kol aretz, et kol eitz, asher bo pri eitz, zorei hazera, lechem yelok ba. Is that a command? To do something? Who's God talking to? To man. Man and his wife. And what's he telling them? Here's what you can eat. What can you eat? You can eat bari prey, eitz, bari prey, right? And how about the animals? L'chol chayat ha'aretz, l'chol ha'shamayim, l'chol romes al ha'aretz. All things you're in charge of. Meshubu nefesh chayat. Et kol yerek esav l'chol. What do they get to eat? They get to graze. You ever notice that? That only man eats fruit and vegetables. Animals graze. Doesn't fit your class either, does it? Doesn't fit science class now. But that's how Chumash has it. Graze. They graze. Grace, oh, great, grace. Right? Yerek Esav. Yerek Esav, whatever it is. Yerek Esav comes up later. You know why? Because when God, after the Mabul, gives man the right to eat meat, it's like Yerek Esav. Is that a downgrade or an upgrade? But that's really cool. But that's animal feed. Now, back to here. So, that's not a command, that's not a new act of creation, is it? That's a continuation of God making men. Men's diet. Now that diet's going to get them in trouble in the next chapter, isn't it? Remember with the trees and eating from the tree and the fruit and all that stuff? But, you know, Perek Aleph is a setup for Perek Bet. Perek Bet's a different story, but it's setting the stage. What's man's name here?
Adam.
How come he's called Adam? Didn't say that here. He only says that in Perek Bet. And then he makes man first. But if man is called Adam in Perek Aleph knows what's going on in Perek Bet. Who am I arguing with? The Bible critics. They're onto something. Chumash is purposely giving us two stories of creation, but it's not two different traditions. It's also what Chumash is doing. Chumash is purposely giving us two different what's called perspectives, and they're aware of one another, but you got to put them together. That's how you teach complexity. But Chumash is doing it beautifully. You know the Rav's book on Rav Soloveitchik's Adam 1, Adam 2? Yeah, it makes a big deal on that. No. But the analysis is right on the mark. Clearly, there's two different stories, but they're written on purpose to teach you about our relationship with God. Now, and then what happens? God sees everything is tov me'od. And then by and day 6 is over. Now, so we're back to day 6 to two acts of creation. Now comes the fun part. We're almost done. What do we have? We have day 3 parallel to day 6. It's like 2 to 5 and 1 to 4. The parallel to day 3 and 6 is beautiful. Why? Because it's not just 3 and 6 are parallel, but both have 3A and 3B, 6A and 6B. Got it? Right. And now we have to look at the jump, right? The parallel jump. Because that's from 3A to 3B was a quantum leap, what you call from domain to somer. And hence, what has to be a quantum leap? From 6A to 6B. Which is from what to what? From Chaya to Medaber. Got it? Or from monkey to super duper ape. No, what am I talking about? Isn't that a major question? Is man a super duper ape? Or is man totally different than animal? Even though he looks like one. And acts like one. What? We'll put it this way. What's Chumash emphasizing? Let me do a technical observation here. I have to differentiate between what's called objective analysis and subjective interpretation. Everything I did till now is objective analysis. You know what that means? Objective is objective. It's objective that 1 is parallel to 4, 2 to 5, 3 to 6, isn't it? It's objective, there's a format, every day ends with begins with Vayomer Elokim and ends with Vayera Vayboker. That there's command execution, you follow? That's objective. What's the meaning of those parallels? Got it? What's the meaning of that format? That is subjective. Got it? Better known in Hebrew as Parshanut. Now, Chumash is begging interpretation, isn't it? And you know what our forefathers did in Chazal? That's what they do for a living. That's Jewish tradition. You know that song from Fiddler on the Roof? That's what Am Yisrael has been doing for thousands of years. And Chumash is so deep, every generation is finding new things in it. But that's what we do. And there's enough in Chumash, it's like a gold mine. And every time you study more, you find new things. But there's a danger there, because how do you know who has the license to interpret? That's the problem. Do you follow? And how do you know interpretation is correct? We call that the base matters to science. It was Am Yisrael, Paskin, Rashi. You follow? Rashi, Ramban, like. But Am Yisrael decides, but everyone suggests things. And does it stand to the test? But what I'm suggesting now is going to be what's called subjective interpretation. You can agree or disagree. But what I'm assuming is, though, that if there's a quantum leap from 3A to 3B, it makes sense there's a quantum leap from 6A to 6B. And I think that's a key point that Chumash is making. Because it's very easy to look at man and compare him to animal, because how do we know there's different species of animals? You told me before. You know, we notice there's different species. And it's very easy, ask any scientist, that what are humans? Super duper apes. And give monkeys another 2 billion years, maybe 2 million years, and they'll make planes. And they'll start believing that God doesn't exist. It's only a matter of time, you follow? Or is there a qualitative difference between man and animal? Is there something different? Now, Maimonides has a beautiful definition, also the Maharal and Tiferet Yisrael, of Tzelem Elokim. What does Tzelem Elokim mean? So Maimonides says it doesn't mean image, because God has no image. There's no image of God. It's not image, but rather it's sort of something godly. Meaning it's man's creative ability. It's called it Tzecha Poel. The idea that humans, like God, can do what? They can think about doing things and do them and be creative. You call that Malechet Machshevet. Don't you in Shabbat? In other words, the idea that humans think about doing things, they perceive things, they do, and they actually do them. They're creative, aren't they? Now, animals are also creative, but it's a different type of creativity. And that's the question, is are we simply a couple of million years ahead of the monkeys? Or is there something qualitatively different between man and animal? Yeah.
What's different is that man, God created with speech.
Yeah.
And man creates with
speech, yeah.
And communication.
Or with speech or with thing, but listen, animals also talk.
No, they don't talk new languages. They don't.
It could be.
They don't have language.
I'll give you some other differences. Animals don't write down their thoughts and make architectural plans and pass them down to the next generation.
Right.
Okay, and charge you for them. Yeah.
What are you doing for kids?
What?
Excuse me. Growing up, the idea of a machine talking would be so foreign to me. Mm-hmm. Such a difficult task could be.
And now we take it for granted. Right? When did computers start talking? Our kids don't know what it means not to be able to have something like that.
Intelligent.
Yeah, they're getting less intelligent, but something else. They're getting spoiled. All I want to suggest is that I think that's a key point Chumash is making. And I want to use the Rambam's definition. He gets a great definition for Tzelem Elokim. He sort of solves it in a mathematical way. He says, what's Tzelem Elokim? He says, take whatever it is that a human is, subtract from that whatever an animal is. If I use mathematical terms, take sigma man, remember that sigma thing from math? Sigma man minus sigma animal, you get Tzelem Elokim. Understand the equation without the board? Sigma man minus sigma animal equals Tzelem Elokim. I can't define it, but I know what it is when I see it. I know man's different than that. It's hard to define.
Creativity.
But I know there's it could be creativity. It's some type of creativity. Now, but think objectively. There's certain things, you mentioned speech, but speech, you can argue animals talk.
It's choice.
It's, okay, it could be, but it's...
I think it's the ability to make a moral choice.
It could be. That might be the price we pay for it. Because who says your morals are better than my morals? It's our machlok, it's CNN and Fox. Is that pretty much? What?
The golem.
What?
The golem. Golem. Can a golem be part of a minion? Oh, if he could speak, maybe he would be.
So how do we pass him? Depends if someone has to say Kaddish. What? For the golem. Yeah. What?
A golem is an man.
Yeah, he doesn't count for a minion. Yeah.
Yeah. A golem is a machine. Mm-hmm. A living machine.
But he can pour wine for you. Okay. I'm just joking. Okay. Okay. So listen, I want to get to my key point. There's certain things between, put it this way, the understanding that man is different than animal, that's where religion begins. Right? When you realize you're not just a super duper ape, there's something godly about it. There's something different about a human than an animal. Because if you were back in high school and had to write a 3-page composition about how a difference is between man and animal, you probably could. And if you had to write 3 pages how they're similar, you could do it that even easier. Go to the Museum of Natural History. There's so many similarities between us and other mammals, and there's so many differences. But is it a quantum difference? You follow? Or not? Now, once it's a quantum leap, once there's a qualitative difference between man and animal, and man, whatever that difference is, that's his godliness. And how does Chumash teach you that? Tzelem Elohim. Nothing else is made but Tzelem Elohim. What's Elohim been doing for the last 6 days? And what's man do from then on? After day 7? He's creative, isn't he? Now, some people have a beautiful custom to remember. That's important to remember. That God gave you the ability to be creative, to be like a God. You can create things. You can make airplanes. Got it? But you can make... You can make computers, if you can talk. You follow? Remember the eights? You know, the mind, Tafka, the eight. Remember Chatal talk about the Cheta Aretz? Because who makes the... You know, it's the eights. God makes the eights, and the eights makes the pre. Or the Aretz makes the eights, there's already a pecking order. And these things, it's called Cheta Aretz. That's where Kabbalists start getting into things. But what I'm getting at is that once we understand that man, there's a significant difference between man and animal. And that's his godliness, that's his creative ability. That's where religion begins. And the question is, God blessed man with that creative ability, what do you do with it? And you can do good with it, you can do bad with it. So I call it from creation to civilization, because the last thing God makes is man with the ability to be creative. And God finishes working on day 7, doesn't he? But the last thing God made is man who's creative. And now, God entrusts man with civilization. Now we need to know what to do with it. So if you want to be cute, we go from creation to civilization and the need for revelation. Now we need a guidebook, which you guys call Torah. Because I don't know, how do I know what am I supposed to do with that creativity? And what's good and what's bad? That's already longer. But I want to share with you a couple of things how it explains. I told you, people have a beautiful custom, some people, to remember that. So God bless them with this ability to be creative. Okay? What they do, once a week, they stop all creativity. To remember where their creativity comes from. Because those same people even hold that you're supposed to work 6 days a week. They wrote it, it's on their tablet. They're supposed to work 6 days a week, but we stop once every 7 days, stop all creativity, to reflect on your creativity. And what things can't you do, like Melechem Machshevet? There's what Melechem Machshevet is? But no. If I want to look at things where animals are clearly different than men, there's certain things that are so obvious that you can even probably mention them real quickly. Give me things, you're giving me theories and stuff like that about wisdom, and I want things that are observable. Right? Someone from outer space would come and look. How's man different than animal? What?
No tail,
okay.
We're able to... Okay,
but monkeys are right behind us there.
Complex society.
What? Something. Again, I want real simple things.
Our head is higher than our tail.
We're able to alter our environment.
Now we're talking business. Clothing! Isn't clothing... I mean, you're giving... You know, clutch. Not clutch. But you follow? standing straight enough. I want clothing, wool. You follow? That's a slam dunk. Clothing, no animal has clothing unless we dress them. We shed our fur for some reason. We don't know why, but we need clothing.
Painting.
We have to make
music.
It what?
Well, lions do music. Painting.
They make music, but they don't write down their music and sell it. No, and pass it down as they can't write something so Chazan 20 years later can sing that niggin and never.
So they're stuck in their
time. It's within their DNA they can pass it down. But they're not in the creative, in the writing way. The idea of writing things down. Good. Let's talk about food. Give me some obvious differences. What? Processed food. Yeah, cooking. But before you get to the cooking, how about domesticating wheat? Find me an animal in the right mind who's going to plant seeds, wait a couple months till they grow, right? That cut them down, we get those little seeds, take those finely seeds you got them, grind them up, add water, put sugar in, and eat a donut. What?
Accidents that humans discovered, they started out without clothing.
Yeah.
And then they said, all of a sudden they got cold somewhere. They froze to death. Some accident put some beyond his survived.
Yeah.
And passed that down. It wasn't part of the human nature when they were born.
That's what you learn in science class, yeah. But for some reason, on some inexplicable reason, humans developed way different than all the other animals. Right? I told you, we're so complex, we can believe that God doesn't exist. Okay? That's pretty creative that God can make something like that. Now, but the idea of processed food, I mean processing wheat, the whole idea of making bread, right? No animal in the right mind makes bread. Correct? You never find that. Or wine. They're what's called hunter-gatherers. If you study anthropology, you'll see that civilization pretty much begins with the domestication of wheat and animals. Making a business out of cattle and sheep. Remember domesticating animals? That's a great hop. And to take sheep and make them multiply and drink their milk and you get their fur and you make clothing from their fur. It's a win-win. It's but no other animal is going to go and raise cattle. You follow? They're not... It could be they're just behind, but it could be... those are simply examples of things which man is totally different than animal. Yeah?
So we'll say delayed gratification.
What?
Delayed gratification.
Could, you might be 100% right, but that's hard to measure. Okay. Like clothing, I'm on what's called a slam dunk because we're in basketball season. Those things are obvious, and you'll see why I picked them. Because, what? All the things we don't do on Shabbat. If you know your laws of Shabbat, right? The whole process of making bread called Sidur Depat, from planting the whole thing, that's what you can't do on Shabbat. The whole process of making clothing, which we can't begin. Remember that all that stuff, if you learn Hilchot Shabbat, right? The process of writing, right? What? And the process of building to the Makeh Patish. Animals make simple tools, but melting down metal, putting them into a form, making plank, you follow? Plus, making a candle, you know, and the hot behind the candle. And in fact, some people, on Shabbat, they don't do those melachot, right? When Shabbat comes in, they make a special blessing on processed grapes and processed bread. And they make a special, and they make a special bracha on that. Not just Shabbat, but they even all week long when they eat processed food, they make hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Even though that's a big lie, isn't it?
Artificial light.
Because the bread doesn't grow from the ground. Right? Man came lechem min hashamayim, but that's why we say lechem min haaretz. But we're doing it ourselves, but we're treating it as because God gave us the ability to do that. That's our perception of it. That's what's so deep about the bracha. I hope my point's clear. So, yeah.
Maybe we can pass it down to our babies, the next generation.
Yeah.
That we discovered clothing, we discovered this,
yeah.
And now my babies will know about it. Animals don't do that. They discover something, and they enjoy it, and then it disappears for the next generation because they can't pass it down.
Yeah, unless it happens by them, but like over, like ant farms. They don't come up every year, a new ant farm. Yeah. We have a new Telus every year. You know, we have a new iPhone every year. The animals don't do that, got it? Yeah. In our DNA is to be creative, you follow? I think that's Tehillim Elokim. Yeah, and that's a blessing from God. It's powerful. It's Yitzirah. Yitzirah Tehillim. You can go good or bad. What do you call that when you use it for bad things? Yitzirah. Yitzirah Tov. You follow? But you can't have one without the other. That's the price you pay for being Yitzirah Tehillim. And now the question is, what? Once you realize that your creative ability is not yours, God gave you that. Just like He put the sun in charge of the sky, the sun. He put us in charge of civilization. He gave us the blessing of creativity. What do we do with that creativity? Are we supposed to work? Are we supposed to be creative? And what we do with it? And how do you know what's good and bad? Now we need Torah. And remember the title, wasn't that the title about the laws of Shabbat? Mm-hmm. I just think you see from here that it could be just an amazing coincidence, but all the laws of Shabbat or all the things were managed different than animal. And it's important to remember that. It also explains kosher meat later on. You understand why? Is it okay to eat an animal or not? Is it good to eat an animal? Should man eat other animals?
Delicious.
What?
Yeah.
No, but is there a danger? But it was, I can eat an animal and make myself part of the animal kingdom, like Yerek Esev. Or I can eat an animal and remember and use that eating an animal to remember I'm different than an animal. So we have a beautiful custom when we eat an animal. We do something symbolic. We don't use the blood. Remember, we do something with the blood. In fact, according to Sefer Vayikra, if a Jew is going to eat an animal, it has to be a korban. You know that? Din Torah, if you can eat an animal, it's got to be a korban. You understand why now? Because I want to make sure if I can eat an animal, I'm going to use that animal to remember that God made me seven weeks. I do it in the Mikdash. So why don't we do that nowadays? Well, Sefer Dvarim solves the problem. What's it do? It's called choline. You know what choline is? What you guys call kosher meat? Kosher meat is a korban without a mizbeach. So, because whatever would have gone on the mizbeach, the blood and the high cholesterol and the fat, that's what we don't need. It's Yisur Karet, isn't it? It's a big deal. I'm saying, so that idea, isn't Tzelem Elokim the first theme of Chumash? I'm trying to show you how the structure how Chumash uses structure to highlight, everything's highlighting Tzelem Elokim. God being called Elokim, and God making man special, and man's being created, is B'Tzelem Elokim. So there's, the word Elohim is key to understanding. It's called Adam 1, if you know Rav Soloveitchik's book on it. I just wanted to show you, my point was, Chumash is a book to study. Now, I can't prove to you that my subjective interpretation is correct, but I want you to agree that the objective analysis is there. Something's going on in the story. I'm suggesting a meaning based on Halachos of Shabbos that we're keeping, and the logic behind it. But I think it's an example that, and Chumash is screaming Tzelem Elokim. You talk about it at Sheva Brachas in a very beautiful way with the Brachot and things like that. And it explains Shabbat, also explains all the things we do in the Mishkan, but that's so to accompany. Remember, there's the Korban, Erev and Moker, and things like that. But I'm way over time speaking of Erev and Moker. So I'll summarize real quickly. I just wanted to at least have some fun for Shabbat Rashid. But also, I want to share with you is how awesome Chumash is. The book that God gave us. And if someone tells you that creation happened 25 billion years ago and happened this and that way, that doesn't mean Chumash is wrong. You follow? They say, Chumash is not about how God did it. I don't need a book of it. Chumash is about why God made man. What's man's relation with later on why God picks Am Yisrael. So God can give us a story of creation. So if you want to be cute, do we keep Shabbat because God created 7 days, or did God create in 7 days so we would keep Shabbat? In other words, God wants us to keep Shabbat. It's in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Our keeping Shabbat is keeping us in line for that. And I need a story to make Shabbat meaningful. You follow? So once you have that approach, there's never a problem between science and Torah. No matter what sciences tell you how God did things, you can prove this, and that, whatever you do, and it changes every couple hundred years. But Chumash is always going to be the same. It's man, it's super, no, it's man's creativity is a gift from God. And what you do with that creativity, and your ability to connect to God, and your Tzelem Elokim, your spirituality, your holiness, is that recognition that God gave you a purpose in life. There's a purpose, and He blessed you with creativity. What you do with it, that's the question. And how do you do it for good? And isn't good a big word? Later, remember? But what defines good? What's Hayashar B'nai Hashem? Yeah.
You talk about Chumash and being a book to study.
Yeah.
And I keep on having on mind Torah Shabbat Peh. Mm-hmm.
That's what they do.
And that there are things in the Chumash that says, if somebody pokes your eye out, then he gets his eye poked mm-hmm. out. That's what it says in the Chumash. Mm-hmm. I'll study it. That's what it says.
Okay.
But then, so where did Torah Shabbat Peh come in?
Sorry, explain. Your question is exactly my point. The rabbis understand Chumash is a book of principles, not a book of laws. And therefore, they take all the laws and they build principles. There's a Masechet called Nezikin, isn't it? Now, it reads Parshat Mishpatim. Says, those aren't laws about an ox scoring effect. Those are principles. They're called Avot Nezikin, aren't they? The Shulchan Aruch, that's not a law. I don't paskin, you don't put Chumash in paskin halacha. Okay? The rabbis study Chumash. They derive principles based on the stories. And they paskin based on the principles. Got it? Because it'll say here, the son will say something else, and something else. And then they put it all together. So I don't, but Chumash understands these are principles, not laws. And the process of deriving principles and then applying those principles, that's Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what the Talmud's about all the time. Got it? And the stories also teach us values. I learned from the laws. Even the laws are written in story form, aren't there? Right. Remember, it's something's your enemy's animal's wandering. You know, what you do, or you know, don't do that. But they're classic stories, but I derive principles from those stories. Got it? And when it comes to creation, that's why the creation story is so deep and there's so much to it. But the last thing I want to point is that it should never be a problem that science says one thing. I don't want people to think, that's why I was making fun when you talk about science and stuff like that. It's not about science, right? But it's from God. God wants us to know not how he created, but what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of being human? And later, what's the meaning of being Jewish? And what do we do with our creativity? And why do we keep Shabbat? Okay, anyway, thanks so much. And I guess a good year. The holiday season's over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shabbat tomorrow morning, 6:15 and 7 o'clock. Mincha tomorrow before Shabbat, 6:15.